Well, let's look at it from a different direction. So a lot of what we've been talking about has to do with business technologies, right?
Yeah.
I found an 1889 article that uses our word, sound writing, and it's about Pitman shorthand. And that's a system that records sounds that are heard instead of the words that are said.
Okay, so it's a little bit like Melville Bell's visible speech and a little bit like other phonetic writing systems, but with more of a practical, businessy purpose to it.
Yeah, very practical. There was a series of popular phrasebooks during the war that taught soldiers to pronounce words in Italian and German and French. It didn't actually teach soldiers the languages, just how to say things. These books were advertised as sound writing, and that was entirely based on Melville Bell's work.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's also this thing called an autograph. It's a dictation machine that was advertised as an electric soundwriter.
So that's another way of combining words to mean soundwriting, right? Like auto, like audio, and graph. There it is again.
Yeah, it wasn't very popular, that particular word. It was mostly used by the company that made the autograph until the 1980s, when I started to see a couple of other dictation manufacturers starting to use it in their ad copy.
I love that we're like one more group of people who think that we're so clever, right? Putting together the word sound and writing. And really, we're just part of this long history of people who have been saying variations on sound writing just about forever, like even into the 1980s. It's totally gnarly.
It's the jam.
Tubular.
Totally rad.
Excellent. Yay!
High five. So what did you find after the 80s?
Well, I did find one article from 2000, which is the first use of the word sound writing in our own field, as far as I could tell.
Well, look at that. I mean, I know you and Will Burdett both started using the term in around 2008, but you're saying 8 years before that, someone else was saying sound writing in rhetoric and composition.
Well, it's pretty different here from how we've been using the term sound writing. In this article, it's used to talk about dictation machines.
Dictation machines. Okay, so tell me more.
This is a 2000 web text in Kairos. The title is Cyborgs and Digital Soundwriting, Rearticulating Automated Speech Recognition Typing Programs.
Okay, so is it about teaching students to compose with sound?
Of course not, Kyle. That would be much too easy. No, here the author wants us to be wary of the supposed neutrality for using those technologies.
Okay, I think he's right about that.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so we got a hold of Stanley D. Harrison, the author of that Kairos web text, and we asked him to tell us more about his concept of sound writing, especially in terms of how his project intersected with ours. So you're going to hear an excerpt of a longer piece that he shared with us, which you can also see on our extras page.
Download commencing. Audio buffering.
I still believe that cyborg sound writers should consider what it means to be a machine organism that features. Read that.
A speaking human.
Read that.
A microphone transducer that turns human sound wave energy into a continuous flow of electrical energy.
Read that.
A voice-to-text computer program that changes electric current into strings of digital code.
Read that.
A word processing program that turns digital code into written words on a computer monitor.
Read that.
A text-to-voice program that translates visible words and their digital code back into electric current that in turn causes the headset's transducing element, or speaker, to vibrate and produce sound waves that in turn simulate a human voice in the act of reading words on a video monitor.
Today's cyborg soundwriters, with their speech-to-text smartphones, still need to know who and what they are. Who could argue with that? But they must do something more. They must turn their supernormal powers upon the unspoken possibilities of the unwritten future, and that's where writing for sound comes in. Today's soundwriters need to learn about their heritage in sound by listening to the recordings of such greats as Archibald MacLeish, Morton Wishengrad, the Firesign Theater, and Yuri Rozovsky. They need to learn how to develop their craft by reading texts on audio production and aesthetics by long-lost authorities like Eric Barnow, Robert L. Mott, Donald McWhinney, and Rudolf Arnim. Then finally, when they're ready, sound writers should sound the uncertain depths of their computer human selves and the world they call home, so they may answer the call of the uncertain future. Soundwriting and soundwriting. It just makes sense.
Download complete. We return you now to your regular audio stream of consciousness.